In part one of my interview with the Capitec team, I spoke with Sean Ray and Charles Now about the role of social media and customer listening in their overall business strategy. We read some recent social media posts of actual customers, and you can really hear their enthusiasm for the brand. But how did Capitec earn this unbridled loyalty and brand advocacy? It certainly didn't happen overnight. In case you missed out on part one, the catalyst for this conversation was my 2017 research collaboration with the South African opinion mining firm, BrandsEye. Our South African Banking Index assessed consumer opinions towards the country's five largest banking brands and explored why consumer opinions differed. BrandsEye has an innovative approach for analyzing and extracting insights from publicly available social media data, which enables the sentiment assessment and topic categorization of what would otherwise be an opaque and messy world of user-generated data. For the 2017 banking report, the BrandsEye team gathered and analyzed social media commentary about the major banking brands, and then we mapped this against a framework of customer experience elements that I've developed through my work with clients to help them evaluate and understand customer feedback. Throughout my career, I've seen pervasive themes around what customers do and don't like about their interactions with brands and what they're typically looking for in experiences. The Elements of CX model breaks this down into four broad themes that are applicable to pretty much any industry context. You can find more information about the Elements of CX methodology on my website, so I won't spend too much time on it here. But in essence, the four themes are promise equals delivery, meaning that customers want to get what they have been implicitly or explicitly promised, and that being deceived is a recipe for unhappiness. Next is resolution. When things go wrong, customers would like their issues to be sorted out quickly and completely. Third is ease of use, meaning that customers want frictionless experiences that minimize effort or hassles on their side. And finally, there's value proposition. Customers are looking for products and services that provide some sort of value to their lives and align with their own personal consumption drivers. If a brand continually hits the mark with these elements, it can build solid customer loyalty over time. But conversely, anytime an experience fails in one of these areas, it chips away at the customer relationship and gradually loyalty is eroded. Sounds pretty logical, right? But you'd be surprised how many companies neglect one or more of these crucial components of customer experience. Capitec has been the dark horse of the South African banking industry. At first, the market regarded it as a company with limited potential due to its lean product range and emphasis on simplicity. Capitec's value proposition, however, struck a chord with the South African consumer. The company focused on getting the basics right, and slowly but surely, the brand gained market share. For the 2017 Banking Sentiment Index, my hypothesis was that Capitec would have a much more positive customer commentary around the CX elements than the other brands, particularly with regard to value proposition and delivering on its promise. My hunch was right. As compared to the other brands, Capitec fared much better in nearly all of the CX elements. The net sentiment of social media mentions about their value proposition was positive at 39.7%, as compared to a negative 11.7% as the industry average. They were the only brand with a net positive sentiment around living up to their brand promise. They also outperformed the other brands in terms of issue resolution. In part one, Charles Nell mentioned that Capitec consistently monitors customer sentiment and has worked hard to manage the expectation gap. In part two of this interview, I sat down with Sean Ray, the head of Capitec's customer experience team, to explore Capitec's secret sauce in a little more detail. Hi, Sean. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Hi, Julia. Thanks a lot for having me.
It's a pleasure to be here at the Capitec offices in Stellenbosch, South Africa. And clearly, Capitec is doing something different and it's succeeding as compared to the other competitors in the South African banking landscape. What do you think makes the Capitec experience so different?
Yes, Julia. I think it's sometimes difficult to point it to one thing only, but I think the company has been started 18 years ago with a very specific mindset to keep things simple and to disrupt the market at the time, and to a large extent probably still is, you know, a very complicated landscape with banks offering complicated product sets, and where Capitec came in and really disrupted the market. We still today only offer one product, which is called the Global One facility or card. And from that, clients can really just have their needs met in terms of transacting account, which charges very low fees, an interest account, a savings account, which pays really very good interest, market-leading interest rates in South Africa, and a credit facility, you know, with some credit options. And if you think about your financial needs, you know, for a large part of the population.
It's quite an interesting turn, because the other players in this market and globally too often focus on these very complex products, lots of different options, which can be overwhelming for customers. And Capitec has made a decision to take a very different avenue for this. But it's not always just about the products. There are other things that make the Capitec experience really special. Can you talk about what makes the experience different for Capitec customers?
Julia, from the start, Capitec's been really, really focused on providing very good service. Once again, 18 years ago, we did not necessarily have all of the advancements in terms of the digital world that we have today. But it's been a focus from the start to measure and understand how quickly and efficiently we can serve clients on the front line. The one thing, as an example, that we changed was side-by-side consulting. So it's not someone sitting behind a screen and there's a consultant on the other side that you can't see what they see on the screen, and it's a very impersonal conversation then. We changed that where clients sit side-by-side, they see what the consultant sees, and it's really just enabling a personal, relevant conversation on the needs of the client at that particular point in time. The other thing that I think we can attribute to the people that started the bank is the culture, the DNA of really, as I said, this action bias of really trying to innovate continuously and to put something in place, but not stop there, really challenge the status quo the whole time. And in terms of finding better ways of serving the client and just removing anything that takes away from that real personal experience that we're after.
And we were chatting a few minutes ago before we started recording about empowering teams to become more customer-centric. And you said something that was really interesting that I don't hear from a lot of customer experience practitioners in this space. Do you maybe want to share that?
This notion that from a client experience point of view, typically we are small teams with an organization that are tasked with quite a big mission to get this ultimate experience right. And if we're trying to control everything that happens in the organization, we are setting ourselves up for failure. So it's very important for us to rather empower people across the organization to make good decisions based on client experiences. And if that means, you know, they challenge process, they challenge product, we need to be able to answer or enable that throughout the organization. So that's really key for us to help people make good decisions. And also, I think, you know, organizational silos is not a new challenge for businesses. In a dynamic environment, technology-driven environment within the financial services space, could become even a bigger problem if we don't act upon it. And I think one of the big challenges for us is to build those bridges between departments where we just take best practices across.
What are some of the ways that you're facilitating the building of those bridges and creating connections between teams?
Well, we have what we call a known client experience term, client journey workshops, but I think it cannot be just there. There's a host of projects in the bank, anything from increasing the communication and that social communication with innovative platforms in the bank, and just really get people to talk to one another and share ideas.
That's very cool. And what are the ways that you currently measure success?
Capitec is very good at measuring a lot of things.
I think that's typical of financial services sector in general, filled with people who like to measure things and, yeah, you know, no shortage of dashboards.
Yeah. I think the measurement, you can get lost in the detail in the measurement as well. It's really the implications of what the data is saying to you that's important to act upon. So, and that's what we try and focus on, whether that's commissioning research or scripting reports to understand what we're doing, if it's working or not. That's really important. It's rather focus on the why behind why are we doing it. It's just not for the sake of measuring stuff. It's what do we want to do with it and how are we going to use that data to drive better experiences.
Yeah. And net promoter score, are you a net promoter of net promoter score or a detractor? What's your take on the customer experience profession's most up for debate topic?
I'll start by saying I'm not a big fan of Net Promoter Score because people make it this thing that everything needs to live and breathe by. And I think if you find a place for it in your organization, it can work. But once again, it's not the be-all and end-all of understanding client experience, you know, or the products if it's really working for clients. I think there are other things and more simpler ways of getting feedback. One of the initiatives that we spoke about is really enabling your clients and frontline staff to give you feedback continuously. So that's really important. It's not a prompted survey response. It's the moment when they walk out of the branch, do they have the freedom and the trust in the brand to speak to someone if something went wrong?
Yeah, I think that Net Promoter Score is one of these things that's sort of a blessing and a curse. And on the one hand, it's great that there is a customer experience related metric that has grabbed the attention of executives. But then on the other hand, if they only grab onto that number and they don't look at the broader experience, it can become something quite distracting and detrimental to customer experience programs. So how long has the customer experience team been part of the Capitec organization?
It's relatively new. And if we say relatively new, it's about 2.5 years that the CX team has been around in Capitec. Our focus is really at the moment is understanding and enabling interactions through all of the channels that we have. We spoke about the big advancement in technology, specifically within the financial services space in South Africa and globally. So the proliferation of interactions is just expanding and exploding. If you think of the number of emails that you get, tweets, posts, likes, physical versus digital interactions and so on. So I think that's really a key focus for us that we want to understand and get right for the next few months. Once we have that base in place, then we can really leverage off that and just this fluid environment where you have an ongoing conversation with your clients.
So delivering these flawless customer experiences is something that is impossible to achieve 100% of the time. And the customer experience team at Capitec and other teams here within the organization are working really hard to deliver a great journey. What do you do to ensure that the feedback is taken on board constructively and that people don't get defensive or that it doesn't sort of erode morale for the people who are working with you to fight the good fight and constantly improve customer experiences?
I think we're fortunate that there's a very good understanding in the organization that although we might get accolades and praises for getting it right and can see in the numbers that things are working, clients are taking to what we offer, we know that there's still a lot of work to do. And that we'll never stop focusing on, once again, challenging the status quo, innovating. So you never get to a point of, this is it, we haven't arrived. And I think if that's the culture of the organization, it's much, much easier to give feedback and say, look, from data, we're seeing that this is not working. We need to fix it.
Does that responsibility ever become overwhelming?
Absolutely. We also spoke prior to the recording that the client experience world is very much overwhelming for me stepping into the role a few months back because it is everything. It's the way that people experience your product and services in the branch versus the way that you communicate to them via email versus the way that they experience something on your app. It is certainly that. And I think the challenge and the opportunity at the same time is to really try and find the things that's going to make the difference, that will take the product and the company to the next level. And if we focus on that and really get the momentum behind that, then it's easy to go to the CFO or the CEO with a new CX initiative because you've proven that from a financial point of view, that it does yield results.
And I suppose that makes it less overwhelming if you're able to empower many people within the organization and have the mandate for the customer be something that is owned very broadly and embraced by the organization, then it's not just you fighting the fight and your team, it's actually everybody.
Absolutely.
So it makes it less overwhelming.
In a big organization, I cannot see it happening any other way. If you're fighting that fight on your own, once again, I think you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
It has to be culture. It has to be, this is the way that we do things. We put the client first in what we do, in designing products, in designing communication, in designing anything. Do we have that share for the client and how will they take to it? How will they experience it? And how can we really make it just simple for them? that's our game.
And yet you and I see so many people in our field who are working on these little islands by themselves that are trying to fight the good fight on their own. So I hope that these messages reach other people and that they can realize that perhaps looking for ways to change culture and get the rest of the organization on board will help their efforts. Mm-hmm. So what's next for Capitec's customer experience? What will be the key areas of focus for 2018 and beyond?
It's a very dynamic field. It's a dynamic environment. So our focus areas, I think we've got a few, but I'll mention one or two. The one thing is personalization. And I think it sounds easy to get right, but it is definitely not. We're currently on 10 million clients, just about, and we're growing still at 100,000 clients every single month. So to really get contextually relevant and personal messages and interactions with those clients is a challenge for us. So I think what we're doing on our side is really just trying to unpack and understand and incorporate that into our systems, the needs of clients when they engage with us. And once we understand and can unpack that need, we could tailor an experience, whether that be physical or digital, around that specific need. Personalization is one, technology, obviously a big one for us, and specifically technology that will aid and support us in understanding and managing omnichannel interactions in the bank. We've done a lot of POCs in that front, and it's an ongoing area of investment for us. That coupled with big data, of course, you know, the data science field is just exploding, I think, globally with artificial intelligence. So the challenge is not, once again, the availability of data, as to how to make sense of the masses of data and keep it simple and really find the nuggets and making sure that they deliver value for clients and for the business.
And bringing it back to keeping it simple, that's a nice full circle for our conversation, because that's where it started for Capitec, was keeping it simple, focusing on a great experience, a product that was easy to understand, and seamlessly delivering that into the marketplace. Thank you so much for your time. It's been great to chat with you.
Thank you very much, Julia.
Thanks for listening to part two of my interview with the Capitec team. For more information about this episode and my research collaboration with Brand's Eye, please visit my website, julia-alfelt.com, where you can download the full report or check out my research methodologies, including the elements of CX. You can find other episodes of Decoding the Customer on my website, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you have questions, suggestions for future episodes, or just want to get in touch, I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter. My handle is @JuliaAlfelt.